Got my briefcase. I'm at work. You bring your briefcase to work. That's what my dad did. Right there. Good morning. Hello. My name's Greg. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. This is good. Are you guys enjoying fall? Yeah? Okay. I have a bit of ambivalence towards fall. Like, I love the sports, but the heat and the humidity of summer are gone, and I'm sad. I'm sad. I love that. I love it. And what has it been replaced with? Pumpkin spice. You see, this used to be an unexpected twist, and now they put it in everything. Like, everything. Let's take the delicious Milano cookie. It's perfect. I'm going to read from Pepperidge Farm now. It is the perfect balance of crisp cookies and rich, luxurious chocolate for an indulgent treat. And what'd they do? What did they do? They attempted an unexpected surprise and, well, let's go to my briefcase. I was going to eat one of these, but I opened them yesterday, and then I smelled complete disappointment. They've given me what I expected. Disappointment. You got a haircut. I saw it when you came in. He got a haircut. You get these. They gave us the expected disappointment. What isn't disappointing is the series we're in. It's called Our Acts. We're going through the book of Acts. Clever title. I didn't come up with it, but it works. And we're considering how we can proclaim the gospel with boldness as opportunities come our way. We're looking at how we can depend on the Holy Spirit to show people Jesus. Today, we're going to see how God speaks in supernatural ways to two different people from two very different cultures and backgrounds. And we're going to see how we get an unexpected message that leads to unexpected results, but good results, unlike our cookies. We have people eating them. Are they disappointing? Yeah. Disappointing! Let's pray. God, I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you can speak to us. And I ask you to do that now. Amen. All right, so far in the book of Acts, we have seen that the message of that Jesus is the promised Messiah is spreading throughout Jerusalem. And soon, it's going to go well beyond that. And in this series, we're considering sermons. We're looking at sermons that were given during this gospel spread. And today we're going to look at one that takes place in chapter 10 of Acts. But before this, in chapter 8, Philip, he takes the news of Jesus outside Jerusalem to Israel's hated enemies in Samaria. And in miraculous fashion, many of them decide to follow Jesus. In chapter 9, Saul becomes Paul. Saul has this crazy encounter with God, and Paul, he becomes Paul. He goes from God's enemy to a team member, and soon Paul, he's going to take Jesus' message well beyond Jerusalem. One of Jesus' disciples, Peter, he's been traveling around. He's been telling people from his own personal experience who Jesus is and what he has done. And at the end of chapter 9, he's in Joppa, and he raises a woman named Tabitha from the dead. And as you'd expect, news of this event, it draws many people to follow Jesus. And this brings us to chapter 10. And in the sermon we're going to look at today, it takes place kind of towards the end of this chapter. But before we get there, I'm going to set the stage. Verse 1, chapter 10. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and his family, they were devout and God-fearing, and he gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. he distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. And the angel answered, your prayers and gift to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner whose house is by the sea. So we have this guy named Cornelius. He's a Roman centurion. And in this role, like, Cornelius represents everything that the nation of Israel would hate about being occupied by the Romans. But this guy, he has a crazy experience when an angel comes to him. And by all accounts, Cornelius is a pretty decent guy. I mean, he cares for the poor and such. And Cornelius, he's told to call for a man named Peter who's in Joppa. This is where Peter had raised Tabitha from the dead. And perhaps news had spread to where Cornelius stays of this. If not, all he's going to have to do is get some people to Joppa, ask where the tanner stays, and he's going to find Peter. It's interesting to me, though, that at this point, Cornelius isn't told why he needs to go down and track down Peter. But it's a reflection of his devotion and trust in God that he actually does it. He sends representatives to Joppa to fetch Peter. This is a radical display of obedience. And God's clearly doing something here because around noon, the day after Cornelius' vision, his people are on the way. Peter, he goes to the roof of the home where he's staying. And he's going to pray. And it's lunchtime, and he gets hungry because that's what happens at lunchtime. We get hungry. And while the food is being prepared, it says he goes into a trance and has a vision of his own. Pick it up in verse 11. It says this, he saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners, and it contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. And then a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Well, surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. And the voice spoke to him a second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And this happened three times, and then immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. So this is an odd dream. Like, this is weird. Like, this would be weird to me. And for Peter, this is even more unexpected. You have this big sheet, it's coming down to earth, and in the sheet there are a bunch of animals. And these are animals that Peter and his fellow Jews, they were forbidden from eating. You see, God had said that if his people ate these animals, they would be considered unclean and thus would not be able to worship in the temple. In his vision, Peter is told, though, that he can eat these animals now. Peter is shocked by this news. I mean, he's a good rule follower. He hasn't eaten anything impure. God says, but I've made these animals clean now, so don't call anything unclean that I've made clean. And that's essentially the vision. You know, there's this back and forth that happens, but Peter, he's been a faithful Jew, and he isn't quite sure what God is saying here. But the conclusion stays the same, and it has stayed the same. What was once unclean is now declared clean. The rules maybe that had been in place for generations for God's people, they might be shifting some, but that conclusion's the same. But what exactly has changed? Like, is this simply a question of diet or something else? You see, Jesus had already declared foods clean while he was here ministering. In Mark's gospel, he shares of an interaction that Jesus has with some religious leaders where his disciples, they'd been eating without washing their hands. Now, this is not necessarily simply a hygienic faux pas, which it would be, but Jews were supposed to ceremonially wash their hands before they ate so that they would be not making things ritually impure. And the disciples hadn't been doing this, so they were breaking the rules. And Jesus ends up giving a talk to the people who had gathered there about what was clean and unclean. And then he gets to food, and he says, food goes in the stomach, not the hearts. And the hearts are what matter. And in light of what Jesus did at the cross, like the previous rules that had guided Peter's life, they were changing. So this dream that Peter has is not necessarily simply about diet. It's more about how Jews were supposed to change how they related to the non-Jewish world. The Jews had been separate from the non-Jewish world. And Peter's being told that these lines are being blurred. And this meant that Jesus' message was for everyone. Like, regardless of race. This next wave of this Jewish-only movement was about to become multi-ethnic, and it was about to become international. The Jews, they might still be restricting their diet. That may not change. But whom the good news of Jesus is for, that is not without bounds. Peter, he doesn't fully realize that he's being readied in this moment to meet with the people that Cornelius has sent. But as Peter's trying to figure out what this vision means, they arrive at his gate and they ask for Peter. And now Peter, he's trying to figure out what the sheet descending from heaven, full of animals he hasn't allowed to eat, but maybe now he's allowed to. He's trying to figure out what that means, and then this happens. Verse 19. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up, go downstairs. Don't hesitate to go for them. I have sent them." And Peter went down and he said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" And the men replied, "We've come from Cornelius the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man who's respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." And then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. Okay, first, Peter obeys. Like, did you catch this? The Spirit tells him, go meet these guys, and he does it. And this is a big deal because Jews didn't invite non-Jewish people into their homes. I mean, they didn't even stand among them. And this invitation, it shows me that Peter's beginning to connect with the true meaning of this vision. Peter's connecting with what he had heard Jesus saying, that his message was for everyone. Like, and he's being confronted with the reality of that message as he's meeting these people and inviting them into his home. In the passage, it goes on to say that the very next day, Peter joins them on a journey to go back to Cornelius' home. And Peter going with them is that this understanding is growing of what God is doing here. You see, what God is doing here is he is advancing his message of saving grace beyond the nation of Israel. When Peter arrives at Cornelius' home, he finds several people from Cornelius' family waiting there for him. And Cornelius, he falls at Peter's feet, and Peter's like, get up, I'm just a guy like you. And they go into the house, which was scandalous because Jewish people didn't enter into non-Jewish people's homes either. I mean, they didn't want to come in contact with anything that would make them ritually impure. But in faith, Peter enters, and he sees everyone that's gathered there, like there's a crowd. I'm going to pick this up in verse 28. He said to them, "You're all aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile, someone who isn't a Jew. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" So Cornelius, he goes on to answer this question by telling the story of his own vision. And he concludes his story by saying, "We're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything that the Lord has commanded you to tell us." And since Peter has realized now what God is doing here, like he's declaring that these people are now a part of the family of Abraham, he jumps right in. You see, these two men, Peter and Cornelius, they're displaying amazing trust and God as they defy cultural norms to see what God has for them in this meeting and beyond. Peter stays, and he tells the people who gathered there about Jesus. And here's where we get into his short sermon. Verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. So Peter, I mean, he has conviction now. He has conviction now with what God meant by this vision of these unclean animals in the sheep being not unclean anymore. God's message, like his message of grace, this is available to anyone. Anyone. And this is a big deal. Like, this is life-changing, especially for most of us in this auditorium. Our race, our nationality, our background, these things do not matter to God. What matters to God is the state of our heart. Who our allegiance to matters than more than where we come from. Jesus offered true forgiveness of sins. This is good news. This is great news for me because I would like you to know that I am a sinner. All you need to do is ask the people who know me best, like the people who live in my home, and they will tell you, he is in need of Jesus. Because, you know, there are times, you know, when my frustration and anger put me into a place where I am not being the husband and father that God has called me to, and I am in need of cleansing. And praise God that I have it. I can be made right with God. Peter goes on, verse 36. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Jesus is amazing. I mean, he's so different than anyone who came before and anyone who has come since. Jesus, being Lord of all, he brought peace to a chaotic world. And with God with him, Jesus brought healing to a desperately broken world. Amazing. Utterly amazing. And Peter, he concludes his sermon with evidence that he's not just making these things up. I mean, he saw them. Verse 39, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us. By us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. Unbelievable. Peter, he is a witness to all of this. The Jewish people had been a witness to all of this. And word of what Jesus had done, his death and his resurrection, all of that was not foreign in the Roman world either. Peter and his colleagues, they'd been sharing the message of grace and hope all around Jerusalem. And now he's taking it beyond those geographic and cultural borders. And soon others are going to join him in this gospel message spread. In the news that Jesus shared with Cornelius and his household, that news is for us too. Jesus came. He died in our place, paying the penalty for our sins. He was buried, and he rose from the dead, and he defeated it. Defeated death for the rest of time. And at this, the Holy Spirit shows up. Just as he had at Pentecost. But this time it was different because this time the Holy Spirit shows up for a non-Jewish family and the household that they're in. And the centurion and his family, they follow the example that Jesus had set, and they were baptized, like right then, They went and got baptized right then. Again, this is shocking. This had never happened before. We're going to see over the next couple weeks, as we move on into the book of Acts, this movement of the news that Jesus is the Messiah, this news has broken out. And this once Jewish-only movement has become a group of people from many diverse backgrounds. And soon an international church is going to be planted in the city of Antioch by Paul and Barnabas. And it's at this place that these people who have said, I'm going to follow Jesus, are forever now going to be known as Christians. And it's from this church that international missionaries are going to be sent out well beyond the bounds of Israel. You see, Peter's diet may not have changed a whole lot. Peter's diet may not have changed a whole lot. But whom he told all his stories about Jesus to, that has changed immensely. You know, as I've been looking at this section of Scripture, I've been struck by, like, the catalyst to all this momentum. If we consider the words of Jesus before this, we would be see that he'd been pointing all along that his message was for everyone. I mean, even right up to the point where he ascended back to heaven, Nick talked about this in the first week of the series, like right before he rises into the air, right in front of him, he says that these people are going to, you're going to take this message like all the way to the ends of the earth, even to the lands of your enemies. But his followers, I mean, they never seemed to catch it in the moment in terms of what he was meeting. But these couple guys, then a couple guys, they have a dream and things take off. I don't usually remember my dreams, but these guys, they remember it. They remember what they experienced. And then they did something with it. In this series, as we look at the book of Acts, you know, we're looking for ways where we can step into opportunities to share with boldness who Jesus is and what he's done in our lives. And as we go through life, these opportunities are often going to come in unexpected fashion. You know, sometimes God might ask us to show Jesus to someone we don't agree with. Sometimes he might lead us to share Jesus with someone who grew up very different than we have. Sometimes he might cause us, lead us to show Jesus to someone who's very dear to us. God can lead in unexpected ways. I'm a planner. Like everything is in order. I know what's coming. And unexpected doesn't seem like a good idea. Ever. But the thing is, God doesn't often work in like a linear manner. Maybe he will someday. I'm planning for it. But we see the way that God moves on full display in Acts today. You know, Cornelius and Peter, they didn't plan out how all this was going to go down. I mean, to be honest, they didn't even think that this was possible. But these two guys, they're key. They are key in Jesus' message moving beyond the Jewish world, because when God spoke, they knew his voice. Like, do you realize that God wants to speak to you? Like, we say this in church. Let's listen for God's voice. But it's true. Like, he has words for you. Words of encouragement. Words of mission for you. And he speaks. He speaks through his word. He speaks through his people. And like we saw today in Scripture, sometimes he'll just speak in ways that only he can. You know, hearing is one thing. Like, hearing is one thing. But what made this story that we looked at today so remarkable was what these guys did with what God said to them. They obeyed. Like God gave them something to do, something they had not planned to do, something that was in always very counterculture. But instead of ignoring it, instead of explaining it away, instead of saying, you know, surely you're not talking to me, they act. They obey. And they join God in his unexpected plan. The plan to make his abundant grace that comes through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection available to everyone. Everyone. Even you and me. Here's what you need to know. Obedience, it takes courage. Obedience, it takes faith. But it's in the obedience where we get to see God do things only He can do. The question before us is this. It's just simply, when God speaks, will we obey? You need to know this. Obedience often won't be easy. I found that obedience often, it won't be convenient. But when God speaks, like when He provides opportunities that may tend towards the unexpected, when He does this, when He leads us into an unknown, like He goes with us. He goes with us. And this unknown might just have a huge impact in the lives of the people around us. Amazing. As I close, I'm going to pray. I'm going to thank God for what He's done and ask Him to give us the courage to obey. God, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for providing a way that we could be made right with You. Thank You that You speak. I pray that You will give us courage to obey when we hear Your voice. Amen.